Hey, this is Adam Richman from Food Network UK, and you are feasting your ears on the Hotspur podcast. Come on, you Spurs.
Yeah, well, welcome to a brand new Hotspurs podcast. It is Monday, the 9th of November, 2020. I am Steve in Leon Cienetics, and we have got the one and only Colin McKee in Northern Ireland, Carrick Fergus. How are you doing, Cole?
Yes, I'm doing really well. Doing good.
So, Northern Ireland, Carrick Fergus, what's the road?
The Belfast Road. The Belfast Road to Carrick Fergus.
No, we can't, because we'll have the mob of beauties trying to knock on your door, and
I wish
it'll go crazy. So brilliant, right? We couldn't do last week because you had a late last minute modelling job over in Milan.
That's it,
or Milan as you call it. But we obviously there's a couple of games gone by. All the other podcasts have talked about all those, so we just get into the game that we just watched. A very short podcast tonight, obviously, but let's talk about it. So, West Brom away, what are your thoughts?
Thoughts, well, a bit like it was like a mirror image of the last two games, which we haven't talked about. But the thoughts are, it was 3 points. 3 points in the bag. We went top of the league for 33 minutes. I've seen they're putting pictures out of DVDs and things already, which is great. I think I'll buy one. Yeah. It was all about the 3 points, Steve. Performance, we'll get into it. Not the best again. It was very like a mirror image of the Brighton game and the Burnley game. But all I was worried about yesterday was getting the 3 points in the bag and getting up to the top of the table or sitting in second, getting into the international break. Because as we've always said, I'd take a 1-0 win every day of the week for the next 30 games, if it means we win the league or win something or do something. Yes, it's not great to watch, and we'll get into maybe reasons why we think this is happening at the minute, but I think any Spurs fan would take it all day long.
Yeah, I mean, we said, didn't we, that as long as you win 1-0, then that's absolutely fine. But if you're going to that West Brom game and when we're getting a 0-0, then, you know, the difference between that Harry Kane flick and not is, you know, just ruins your weekend, ruins your Monday going back into work. You know, the absolute mickey taking that I was getting through the game on WhatsApp groups and all over the place from various fans. And then we scored and everyone immediately shuts up because it is all about the result. It just is that way at the moment. And as we know from you know, our last 4 or 5 years watching Poch the other night, you know, and you just think back at you know, brilliant seasons that we had under him, in terms of the way we played football, some great results, some great games, you know, getting to, I didn't realise the number of semi-finals we got to. You know, each season we did really, really well in terms of challenging for something. And of course, you know, me and you, we harp on about, 30 years ago when we had season after season after season of our season was over in January. Meanwhile, the two clubs down the road were chasing all four trophies. And finally, you know, we're actually chasing stuff. But obviously Mourinho comes in and we say, the first thing we say is, you know, you can either do one or two things. You can either play well, or you can win games 1-0. As long as you're doing one of the two things, then we're happy. Right, Cole?
Yeah, 100%. You know, that's what it's all about at the minute. It's just quite strange, you know, watching the game yesterday. Look, it was frustrating as we went along, and it was turning into what I call a typical Spurs game, which we've watched for, I don't know how, for the last two decades, probably, you know, where you just sort of know nearly after 20 minutes, right, this actually is going to be one of these games where we're either going to sneak it, we're going to draw, or we're going to get beat by a last-minute goal. And that's the way, that's just the feeling I had after 20, 25 minutes. I can't put my finger on why we've performed the way we've performed over the last 2 or 3 weeks. Since, if you look at the Man United performance, you know, the football we played that day, forget about going down to 10 men, because I think we'd have went on and done that against 11. And obviously the first 70 minutes against, maybe 60 minutes against West Ham. But ever since that West Ham result, it's nearly, I'm sitting watching and thinking, going, you know, has Mourinho really pulled them in after the West Ham? And it's almost like a, let's not make any more silly mistakes. And you can see the way we have defended out the last sort of 15 minutes in the Burnley game and in the Brighton game once we went 2-1 up. And even yesterday, it was really about not conceding that goal and hopefully sneaking the winner. So I think the West Ham game has sort of set us back a wee bit from that sort of style that Mourinho was playing. But, you know, you look at our goal difference, we're sitting there with plus 10 goals. Yeah. Yes, we scored 6 at Old Trafford. But I think from there, maybe he's just reined them in a bit and said, look, you know, the be-all and end-all for Mourinho is not conceding goals. And if that's affecting our style of play a bit, we'll probably have to put up with it for the meantime. I do think, and I know we'll probably talk about the next 5 or 6 games that are coming up, I actually think these games suit us better. You know, like Man City in 2 weeks' time, they're not going to come and sit with 5 at the back and try and defend. You know, they're going to come at us, they're going to go at us, which hopefully will suit us. The same with Chelsea, the same with Arsenal, same with Liverpool. You know, so these games could be a wee bit more exciting. Whether the results will be what they are, I don't know. But I think there's just been something that's went on inside to sort of tighten us up. And look, I'm not going to complain too much. As long as we get 3 points at the end of the day, I'll take it.
Yeah. I mean, there's been some, let's go through a few performances. Lloris, I was going to say, has looked pretty solid. He has, generally, in the first minute though, he comes and punches that ball instead of catches it. I thought it kind of set the mood a bit. About half an hour later in the game, I sort of turned to my son and just said, you know, that punch from Lloris kind of, what did he do that for? It's kind of set the mood here that, you know, we're cagey. You know, what's going on? But generally, Lloris has been terrific, don't you think?
Yeah, he has. I actually think he's probably the best form in a long, long time. I feel very secure with him. You know, and his kicking's better, his distribution's a lot better from the back. So, yeah, very solid. But, yeah, you're right. That sort of punch, I think we all were sort of going, you know, what's he doing? You know, we haven't seen that in quite a while. But, you know, he had one major save to make in the game, and he made it. He made it, you know, which was massive.
And he also knows that, you know, one slip, you know, any more of that silly thing where he, like he did with Danny Ings last year, and, you know, he was making quite a few mistakes, wasn't he? That Joe Hart is waiting, you know, Joe Hart is waiting in the wings, isn't he? Raring to come in, you know, talk about someone that's trying to make an impression. Watching the European game the other night, and, the, you know, the shouting and what have you. You know, but brilliant. You know, that is somebody that I think sneakily thinks I'm gonna take this spot. You know, as soon as Lloris gets a little tweak, you know, and he's out for 3 or 4 weeks, I'm coming in and I'm not losing that spot. I think that's Joe Hart's mentality. And I think Lloris knows that. And as much as the two of them are being very professional, I think there's a real competition going on there. I'm not saying that Joe Hart's going to take his place at all. You know, I've never rated Joe Hart that heavily. Anyway, since I thought he was brilliant when he was younger, but last few years he's got very arrogant, a bit like what David James did, and kept making loads of mistakes. But he's obviously had a think to himself, and this is his last chance to, you know, have a end his career on a high. So the goalkeeping situation's looking good. Doherty has come on in for a little bit of criticism because I think we expected someone to be, you know, flying down the wing, hitting loads of great crosses. And he's been a little bit disappointing, in my opinion. What do you think, Carl?
Yeah, I totally agree. Funny, after about probably 35 minutes yesterday, I tweeted my son, or messaged my son, and I said to him, I said, look, do you know what? I'll bring Serge Aurier on. I'd bring Aurier on for him at half time. I thought Aurier, attacking wise, probably gives us that wee bit more. I don't know what it is. I think you're right. I think we were all, what I was expecting was this guy, not so much beating down the wing and putting crosses in. I was expecting this guy that constantly was floating into the box and scoring goals. Because if you look at his goal record for Wolves, every time Wolves attacked, the guy seemed to be in the 6-yard box. And he was, you know, headers or tap-ins. That's what I expected to see. And, you know, people say that, look, he was playing wing-back, I think it was, for Wolves, and he's a right-back more for us. I don't think we'll really play that way. I thought, you know, we sort of play with wing-backs as well. If you look at the likes of Reguilón, you know, the way he's getting up and down. But it could just be a nervous thing with him. You know, he's new, he's under pressure. Probably he's never had a manager like Mourinho that expects clean sheets. And he's maybe just that wee bit hesitant to get himself forward. Look, it ended up, it was his ball into the box, you know, that got us the winning goal as well. But yes, there's just something about him that just isn't jumping out at us all at the minute. But
I wonder if it's giving the ball away a little bit too much. Whereas you look at the likes of Dyer and Alderweireld, they are passing it really well at the moment, aren't they? The two of them, as well as their defending, which we don't really need to talk about because, you know, clean sheets and they're strong and they've looked terrific. Their passing from the back has been brilliant, hasn't it? Whereas Doherty seems to be giving the ball away. Reguilón, obviously, I think he's been a terrific signing. Don't you think, Cole? I think he's looked great.
He has, you know, and he's just exciting to watch, isn't he? Yes, I think there's a few wee mistakes in him as well, and he gets a bit too excited maybe when he gets forward there. But yeah, look, he's brilliant to watch, and look, that's what we want to see, someone exciting and fresh. And he's down the line, he had a couple of shots yesterday, putting good crosses into the box. So yeah, like, couldn't be any more happier with that kid being in the squad. It's brilliant to see, you know. Just sort of going on the defence, you know, if what about this young lad Lamptey? We didn't talk about the Brighton game. Yeah. What a player that kid looks like. And it wouldn't surprise me if Mourinho's looking at that boy. Wouldn't surprise me. You could maybe see a wee bit coming in there next year, you know?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I was watching my boy play a bit of FIFA earlier, and Trippier's name come up. And I was just thinking, I wonder what it would be like with Reguilón on the left, Trippier on the right. If we'd have kept him, you know, maybe he might want to come back. I don't know, but that could be something to look at, because, you know, Trippier had a couple of half decent seasons or a half decent season as backup. I thought he was very, very good. Was it before the World Cup?
Yeah.
And then he had a brilliant World Cup, and then of course he came back and was up and down, but he played in all the big games and obviously played in the Champions League final. But when he went, most people were happy to see him go. But I wonder if a little bit of that experience in Atletico Madrid could be something worth looking at. You know, he seems like the type of kid who's not going to, you know, stay away from England for too long. And you know, it could be someone that, you know, literally 10 minutes ago I was watching FIFA and went, oh, what about if he fancies coming back? Moving into midfield, Holbier has obviously been a terrific buy, someone who again started a bit shakily but has really come into his own. I think that when you look at the two centre midfielders that Jose is playing, Sissoko and Winks, Sissoko and Holbier, very similar to Pochettino, Sissoko and Winks. But it's an upgrade, isn't it? Is Holbier an upgrade on Winks? Is that what's happened there?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. We spoke about it in our last show as well. And look, I love Harry Winks. I think he's a great, great young player, great prospect. But, you know, Højbjerg just gives us that steel. He looks hungry. He's angry. Yes, he's going to make a few mistakes. He had that wee one yesterday where he took his eye off the ball, but there's just something about the back four brilliantly. If you constantly watch him, he's always in there covering. I think he's been superb. We were worried about him after the first couple of games, but yeah, he does, and it's definitely an upgrade, 100%. And it gives Sissoko a wee bit of freedom, I think, as well.
Yeah, he knows what his job is. And he does it brilliantly. And like everybody knows a Holbier in their side. With Winks, you're still not sure. Is he a creative midfielder? Is he a defensive midfielder? You know, we know he passes backwards and sideways, which is, you know, but anybody can do that. Anybody can look neat and tidy. But, you know, and that's what we've been saying about Winks. Winks could quite easily, in my opinion, get back in that side. He just needs to play for his strength. And his strengths are his passing. So come back into the side. Just pass it forward, create some chances, have a few shots, because the guy can, you know, whereas the other guy, Sissoko, can't do that. We know that Sissoko can get stuck in, can run around, can be a nuisance, can be big and strong. I wouldn't want to play against him. But we know that Sissoko hasn't got a shot and hasn't got a pass. So there is a space for Winks, but he can't just come in and be neat and tidy and get a few tackles in. He's got to play to his strengths. In front of them you've got Ndombele. I think he's got obviously moments in matches where you think it's fantastic. I'm going to be critical and say that he's not quite doing enough, if you know what I mean. I don't know if he's not demanding the ball, not giving it to him enough possibly. But when you think that everything went through Dembele for a couple of seasons, you know, it's just give the ball to him. He did his stuff, laid it off, got it back, and he was a joy to watch. And Ndombele is a joy to watch, but for huge amounts of the match, you're thinking, is he still on the pitch? What do you think, Cole?
Yeah, I'd agree with you. That some of the things he done yesterday were superb, but what I was actually going to say about him tonight, was going to bring up, see when he got injured, I actually think he wanted off the pitch. Did you get that feeling?
I get that, yeah.
Because I looked at him and straight away when it happened, I went to myself, he doesn't want to be in here. He doesn't want to be on the pitch. And I know he looked a bit huffy and grumpy because he gets substituted. I just went, this guy wants off. It wasn't going his way. He wasn't really creating much then in that second half. And he was probably in his own head, we're not going to win this game. And it just looked like, get me out of the firing line. And I think it was just an easy way out for him, which I didn't like. I could be completely wrong, but that's how I took it. So, yes, there's a lot more to come from him. You know, I still feel that there's space there for another player to come in for him. You know, Lo Celso obviously come on and done as usual, bit of runabout, missed a glorious chance for us. I think when he gets up to match fitness, I think you'll possibly see him in there a wee bit more than Ndombele. But, you know, I still really hope that Dele Alli can just be given a chance. You know, I'm a game watching that yesterday going, a Dele Alli on his day, on his game, will get you the winner in that match, or he'll create that goal for us. And I just feel really sorry for him. I don't know whether I'm being soft or whatever, but, you know, out in the Europa League game, I was crying out, you know, from 25 minutes, 30 minutes left, get him on the pitch, give him a chance. But I think he's done, Steve. I think Mourinho and him have just parted ways. And
I think that, it's over. Just going back there, I think that the what people, most people want is Lo Celso, Ndombele and Holbier with Sissoko left out. But like I say, Sissoko, the way he breaks up the play and runs around everywhere, he's a perfect Mourinho player to, you know, to be horrible and come in and break everything up. So I can't see him going. But, you know, when we're playing really, really well, if we can get on a little run, you know, and then we're playing someone, you know, not so good at home or whatever, then I think we can experiment with taking Sissoko out and playing a few more creative players. And on Dele Alli, people will be screaming, going, he's been given a chance. He's been given a chance. He has, but I would have put him in yesterday because he didn't play Europa. I just said, right, this is your, you know, not your last chance. You don't want to put too much pressure on him. He's still only, what, 23?
Mm-hmm.
23, right? So you just go, listen, yeah, you come in today. We're West Brom. Do your stuff. I'm going to play Bale, Kane and Son. You know, so you've got three mates there that you will play with you and support you. Turn to those three and say, lads, Dele Alli will give the ball to you guys because he's the creative player, and see what happens. because we could miss. I was thinking Solskjaer will go, Poch will go there, and then they'll bring Dele Alli in January, and he'll be the main 100%. Man. He'll stick him in there, and he'll be the supply line for Rashford and Martial and Greenwood and all the other lads. Pogba will go to Juventus or whatever for a huge wadge of cash, because I think he'll go. And Dele Alli could well, you know, he's 23. So, look, you know, he's got another 10 years. And, you know, we know the lad can play football. He's proven it. So he's got nothing to prove in terms of his talent. It's just really if he can get in a side and sort of be the main man, I don't know. But I would have given him that game just to say, right, go on. Because it comes down to trust, I suppose. And have they had a massive falling out? Probably not. I'd guess Dele Alli's just trying to keep his head down. And Mourinho's just going, well, I've got too many players. I don't know. Go on.
It is, you know, and I think, you know, at Stemham, I would say the majority of us watched the Monday Night Football because Poch was on. And, you know, listening to him, it was actually felt really sad watching it. So I did, watching the guy. I think a lot of us have got a lot of love for him and really, really respect what he'd done. But then when you heard him speak about Dele, and again, I just went into my head, he's going to United. Poch is going to United. He's going to take Dele Alli there in January. And we are going to sit and watch this kid blossom and just go, what have we done? What have we done? And it really, really worries me. It really worries me. And I think that's what's probably making me go, right, get Dele Alli back in this squad. Mm. You know, give him a chance. But as I say, we don't know what's going on there. It's just such a talent, isn't he, Steve? You know, no matter what anybody says about him, you know.
What about this? I thought Sam was having a stinker. And Son can have a run of games where he can't control the ball. It's bouncing off his knee. He keeps shooting and it's just not happening for him. What about bringing Dele Alli on there? In that wider position, bringing Son off. So then you've got the front three of Dele, Kane, and Bale. You know, that could work. And we know also that if you do that, you've got three brilliant headers of the ball. Dele Alli is very, very good in the air. You know, that late arriving into the box and heading. Yeah. So, you know, the options. But I don't think we should lose that Dele Alli option.
I think it's for the majority of us supporters, that's a no-brainer that we all want to see him back in that 16 and getting a chance, getting an opportunity. But, you know, again, here, you know, there's the international break, he's going to still be at the club because obviously the kid isn't getting called up for England now as well. He'll be desperate to try and make the Euro squad for England. So unfortunately, I think in January he'll be away. I'm hoping if he does, he goes abroad on loan. Maybe he gets back, but Pochettino's going to get a job very, very soon, whether it's in England or whether it's abroad. And I got the way he spoke about Dele Alli and some of the things that he said, that's his first signing. And
PSG.
I just hope it's abroad. I would hate, you imagine Man United coming to the new stadium.
Yeah.
This, because we've played them at Old Trafford, say whenever it is in March or April, and we're running for top four or still pushing, and United line up and Dele Alli's in their team against us.
Yeah, in that red shirt.
You're not going to be too happy.
No, thanks. Sonny has lost a bit of form, but I wonder if it's because he is, you know, as well as Kane, obviously, I wonder if Sonny is the main man. I wonder if they've looked at it, you know, these last few sides and gone, he's the one we need to stop. And that's possibly why he's being, you know, not played as well. I'm trying to find reasons for his little bit of loss of form.
Yeah, I just think it's what you said earlier. Every season he has this. He has this where he goes on 2, 3, 4 games where you're sitting going, right, son, you know, come on. Like, I love him. He's one of my favourite players. But, yeah, again, I think it could be times and games like that there where you've got to look at him and say, look, we need to take him off.
Yeah.
You know, and Gareth Bale
It was his control, wasn't it, the ball? It was bouncing off him and his passing
That chance that he had in the first half is not like Son to take four touches. in the box.
Yeah.
That was a strange, well, strange thing to see.
Yeah, if you think about the second goal against Man City, he was much further out. It just came to him, just smacks it in. That's what Sonny's all about, isn't he? Getting first time touch it, first time shot. Why on earth he didn't just knock it in? I don't know.
Strange.
Trying to be too clever, I don't know. Kane obviously is absolutely brilliant at the moment.
Yeah.
You saw in the documentary that Mourinho had said to him, "I want to take you, you know, to the next level." And I think that's what's happened. I think he's just said, "Look, you watch the way Ronaldo plays. You watch the way Messi plays. Although they're different players." I think he's just said to him, they drop deeper, they get involved in the ball. And when you think about Kane over the last 5 years, we've watched him, he's a player that sometimes you've wondered if he's on the pitch. You know, and then he pops up with a goal in the second half, or he gets maybe three in the second half. But certainly at halftime, I've said many times, Kane hasn't touched the ball. And I wonder if he's just said to him, look, you are the main man. You can play brilliantly. Get involved from minute one, and don't just you know, be the striker. Be the link man. Be the talisman. Get involved in the whole game, like all the top players do.
Yeah, definitely. Look, he's outstanding. You know, and you know, for just even the way he flicked that into the net, you know, to score that goal, and look, he had a couple of wee sort of half chances that you sort of nearly expect him to bury. Yesterday, so it wasn't all going his way, but he's such a danger, and he's one of the best in the world for me. I know I'm a Spurs fan, but he's definitely one of the best in the world. Unbelievable watching how this guy's developed.
I thought the way that some of the players, the ball was bouncing off, there was even Gareth Bale at one point. We know he's great control of the ball, but even it bounced off his knee and his foot at one point. I thought even Gareth Bale's not controlling, but Kane. He was cushioning the ball. He was controlling it. He was playing like a, you know, brilliantly. Let's move on then to Bale. What are our thoughts on Bale at the moment?
Look, I think it's fitness and getting back into the English way of playing. Don't think he's done much, to be honest with you. He hasn't. Okay, he has scored the winner against Brighton, but I don't think, you know, he hasn't been past anybody. He hasn't showed anything like that. I still think it's going to take time. It's fantastic having him there. It really is. But again, yesterday, I think he huffed and puffed and didn't do much, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
He didn't do much for the team. He didn't excite me. But I think we've just got to give him up to Christmas and the new year, and then hopefully things will turn. But again, that's why I'm saying with other players there, which is great. You know, you looked at the bench yesterday. I thought the bench was strong. Vinicius came on. Thought he'd done really well when he came on. He gave us another presence up there. It's good to see him and Kane and the team together. So that was nice to see. And Lucas Moura, I think, came on with a wee bit of something to prove as well, to try and say, look, you know, I still want to be in this starting 11.
Yeah.
So that was really good seeing. Obviously, Bergwijn wasn't in the squad. So, you know, there's lots and lots of positives to take there. But, you know, it is what it is with Bale at the minute. It's just going to take time.
Yeah, I thought there were a couple of great subs to bring on. Lucas Moura looked raring to go. I thought he looked good on the ball. He looked dangerous. And, you know, you can imagine if being the opposition, if the fans were in there just going, oh, blimey, you know, this is a couple of good players they're bringing on here. And Vinicius, obviously, is a big old lump. And the goal was half down to him, pulling the defender away. Get the two of them up there. Oh, please. Get the two of them in the next, you know, even against Man City. Get the two of them lads up there, big lads, you know.
Yeah.
I think we, you know, could struggle in midfield anyway with the strength of their midfield. So rather than playing from midfield, which obviously we don't do as much anyway, get Alderweireld and Dyer on the ball and get the ball up to those lads. Bale as well. Get the big lads up there. You know, let's win the game that way. But, you know, again, don't care. Let's just get it up to the lads and see what they can do. But I'm impressed with him. So, you know, things are looking all right. We'll take the 1-0s all day long. We've got these games coming up. Who knows? We just saw, which was absolutely obviously delicious, Arsenal losing 3-0. Mm-hmm. After it was all, oh, Arteta's this, Arteta's that against, you know, as we know, an awful Man United side, which they beat. And then they come straight crashing back down to earth with a 3-0 loss to a, you know, frankly average Aston Villa side with two or three half-decent players. But it was delicious. It was absolutely hilarious. And it made my Sunday evening.
Yeah, it made mine too. even though, to be fair to Villa, I thought Villa were outstanding. Some of the football, Grealish, what a player.
Barkley and Ollie Watkins, terrific, weren't they?
Ross Barkley's looked outstanding since he's went there as well. But he'd done that at Chelsea. If you remember when he first went to Chelsea, he looked strong. And obviously this young kid, Watkins, who if we had paid 30-odd million for, we'd have probably, most of our supporters would have been crying while I was signing him. But no, the fellow were outstanding, you know, on it. But sorry, just want to say one other thing on our game.
Yeah,
when you have to give a bit of credit to West Brom, you know how they played, you know how, and I thought, you know, they didn't sit back the whole game. You know, they had quite a lot of opportunities. But one thing that I always think when I'm watching it, let's hope these teams put in those kind of performances against the other big boys.
Yeah.
And that is my, obviously, like if I looked at Burnley played Chelsea after us.
Yeah.
Burnley didn't even look like half the team that fought and put in the performance against us.
Yeah.
Do you know, and it really frustrates the life out of me. So,
Equally, when Villa play us, you know, it's one of those games where they think, oh, well, we've got Palace on Tuesday, and we need to win that one. So we'll concentrate on that one because that's happened to us, like you just said, over and over again. You know, here's the final question then. You know, how are we going to get on? Are we going to win the league? Blah blah blah. You know, my take on it is we will. As long as, you know, you have to have that luck. You have to have, you know, what Liverpool had last year, which was Van Dijk fit for every single game. That front three fit for practically every single game. They've got players, you know, like Jordan Henderson and James Milner even, who just come in and they just do those jobs. And I was going to say, actually, on Gareth Bale, that perhaps Bale needs to spend the next three or four games thinking about what he can do and what he can't do. You know, he can't knock it past the player and run off the pitch and back on again and collect it. But what he can do is he can hit a ball with his left foot. So he can still drop a shoulder and hit that ball in, which we haven't seen yet. You know, you don't lose that skill. I think that Bale maybe needs to go into that more sort of Milner role of dropping maybe a little bit deeper, saying to Mourinho, listen, I can play a bit deeper or play in the middle with Holbier maybe, something like that. Because he's got the footballing talent, but I don't think he's got that. You know, he just needs to adjust his game and be a Milner for us. Come in and play brilliantly in certain games and be a steady Eddie, be a player that the opposition look at and go, Christ, we're in trouble here because Bale's playing. And, you know, someone's not going to let the side down, if you know what I mean. We've got to hope, number one, we keep our best players. Let's say we've got five or six of our best players. I'm talking Kane, Holbier, Son, the centre-backs. Because in other positions, we can sort of mix and match. But for those key positions, the goalkeeper, we have to keep those fit all season long.
Yeah.
Like when Leicester won the league, Vardy never missed a game. The centre-backs, Huth and Wes Morgan, didn't miss a game. We keep our full strength side or our key players will do well.
Yeah,
plus,
I agree.
In terms of that, we've got to hope that Aguero is in and out with his injuries as well. De Bruyne hopefully picks up another cruciate ligament or whatever. You know, it sounds horrible to say, but sorry, these things happen to us. Harry Kane for the last three seasons has missed 8 weeks. Of the last each season, Sonny off on international duty, problems at Vertonghen and Alderweireld out for weeks and weeks and weeks. Goalkeeper broke his arm for 3 months. You know, Lloris.
Yeah.
So look, if we and everyone gets injuries. No, Liverpool last year didn't get any injuries and they won the league. So if that can happen, Leicester didn't either. So if we can have that, we'll do all right. Go on, Cole.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. We need to keep them fit, you know, and fighting their week in, week out. But I say, look, the next five games will tell us a lot. Really will tell us a lot. With City home, Chelsea away, Arsenal home, I think it's Palace away, Liverpool home. And then Leicester and Wolves, actually, I think, after that, which are, again, two massive games. But these next four or five games, well, look, even if we look at the next three, two at home, you know, City at home can go either way, in my opinion. Take a draw now, so would, if anybody asks me. We can beat City at home on our day. Chelsea away, we can definitely get a result there. I don't think Chelsea are great. I know they're pulling out results, but they're definitely not that good at the back. And Arsenal at home, I'd take us to beat Arsenal any day of the week now. But look, you know Arsenal will turn up and they'll be dangerous that day. But, you know, we pull out 7 points out of these next three games. I think then we're in the running. I really do. I think we're in the running. And I think the confidence that will build in the team will be absolutely massive. It's exciting times. And I always say, I think these games suit us. And you know what? We've got Mourinho there. And I always say to myself now, with the Mourinho in charge on the sideline, he loves these games. And he will be no mug in the way he wants the team to play.
I just think that if we're going out to these games, City, Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool, with Harry Kane up front, you know, he's the key, isn't he? Harry Kane and Son, and if you want the goalkeeper, but you know, they're the key. You know, you want Mourinho there, and then at half time, you know, we're 1-0 down. You want Harry Kane going, look, for goodness sake, you know, but if Harry Kane gets injured again, you know, on international duty or in the first game against Man City, it's just so hard to. Even Mourinho will go, look, you know, you heard what he said in the documentary. And we might pull out some results because we know that Son can play up front, or maybe Vinicius can come in and be a be a target man up there. But just please, for these games, keep our best players fit. You know, let's play against Man City, Liverpool. Let's see what it is like with Kane against their centre-back who isn't Van Dijk. You know, switch it round to what it was with the Champions League when Van Dijk come out and said, you know, I was so happy they played Kane because he's clearly not off the pace. Let's switch it around. Let's see if we can, you know, take advantage of the other team's injuries for once. Mm-hmm. So look, we'll see what happens. I'm not confident at all. I'd just be delighted with something this year. In saying that, you know, obviously a trophy would be lovely. My priority is top four. We need to win a trophy. But you know, if we don't get top four, then you know, we know that we've lost some key games in the season. You know, possibly, you know, to our arch rivals. So we desperately want to do that, and then you know, enjoy our summer, and just hope that lot down the road don't have another awful season and somehow fluke a cup win like they have done it in the last few years. So good stuff. Anything else to say, Cole?
No. I think that's everything. Look, we've just got to be really positive, really happy. We're sitting second in the league and in the international break. How many games does England have?
Three.
It's just crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. I think it's one friendly and two these Nation Cup games.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. You know, do you know what I mean? And look, I just hope Harry. Look, I noticed Gareth Bale sitting on the ice pack around the ankle yesterday. I think that's him not going to Wales again.
I think he's going. No, I just heard he is going.
Well, look, every time I watch England play, I just sit and pray that Harry Kane doesn't get injured or goes off and sits on the bench. So, look, I think Harry's sensible as well. I think he'll know himself deep down. Mourinho will be speaking to him, say, look, Harry, friendly games, you know, you don't really need to be going into anything too daft there. You know, so it's just crazy. But I just wish there was no international games. I really did. I really do.
I can't believe they're still planning.
It's a waste of time.
Well, why on earth they haven't said, right, you know, we're not going to play internationals. We're not going to play, but we're not going to play Premier League games either. We're just going to have a 2-week break where everybody can get back, you know, self-isolate, get sort out the fact, you know, talk to their family, go back, be a family, you know, get a break. You can't get a break away, but, you know, just have a little relax, recharge your batteries, guys, and come back in 2 weeks. How simple would that be? And they say it's down to money. Is there that much money in international football? I guess there must be. I mean, you know, there must be that loads of money and TV deals and what have you. But there we go. We don't know. We don't know the ins and outs of that lot. All right, matey.
We will see. Let's enjoy our 2 weeks and then bring on Man City.
Yeah. All right, matey.
Bring them on. Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.